The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I feel like I need to elaborate just a little bit on that. The power of words. Because sometimes in our society, I don't think we appreciate how powerful it is when we speak things to people, when we speak blessings, and when we speak cursings. And I don't mean that you conjure up some kind of a curse, but I mean when you speak evil things to somebody, or you say nasty things to somebody, that's cursing them. And when we do that to our children, guess what we're doing? We're laying a curse upon them. That's why it's very important that we speak life to them. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his lips, not by what he eats, but you will be the innermost being." When they're talking about stomach, they're talking about the innermost part of you will be satisfied by the things that you speak, things that come out of your mouth. "From the produce of your lips, he shall be filled." Then it goes on to say in verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." We have power to speak blessings into people's life or speak death into people's life. And here's the thing, when somebody has spoken death into our life, particularly if you were a child and you had death spoken into your life, someone said you're an idiot, you'll never amount to anything, you can't do anything right. And when you're a child, that stuff sticks. It gets inside of you. And for your whole life, you'll go through your life trying to overcome that, trying to deal with that, trying to reconcile. Was that really true? Sometimes you'll think it is. But the reality is that in Christ, you have become a new creature. And in Christ, your thinking, you have the mind of Christ now. So it's very important that you realize that you can break those curses in your life, those things that were spoken over you. But you have to do it by recognizing what the Word of God says about you. You have to go to the Scripture. You have to get the Word of God deep inside of you and understand that you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a child of the Most High God. The Word says that you are a king and a priest. You're a child of the King. You're a prince and princess. You are the best God has to offer. You. Now here, I want you to understand something that we have lost in our society is the blessing that was passed down in the Jewish society from generation to generation. They would speak blessings over their children. And particularly the firstborn, because God wanted to teach them about the firstborn from the dead. But particularly the firstborn, the father would have the son come in and he would have to slide his hand under his thigh. Father would be laying down. Well, this happened with Jacob and Esau. Slide his hand under it, his thigh, and then the father would proclaim a blessing over the son. And he would give him the birthright. All the other children got things from their father. They got inheritance. But the birthright was handed down to that particular son. Now, if you remember Jacob deceived his father, Isaac. If you don't know that story, it's in Genesis. Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, he dressed up like his brother, Esau, who was just a little bit older than him, and went in and deceived his father. He put goat skins on his arm because his brother was a hairy man. And Isaac was unable to see at that time, and he didn't realize that his son was deceiving him. He said, "You have the voice of Jacob, but the arms of Esau." So under the deception, and there's a spirit of deception, I want you to understand that. Under the spirit of that deception, Jacob received the blessing. Now here's the thing I want you to understand. I want you to see the power in the spoken word. When Esau came in, and they both realized that Jacob had received the blessing from his father, Isaac said to his father, "Bless me too, Father." And Isaac said, "It's too late. I've already spoken the blessing to Jacob." You see the power in the spoken blessing? The power in the spoken word. You can't take it back. You can't take the blessing back, and you can't take the words of death back. When you speak words of death to somebody or about somebody, it's like throwing feathers to the wind. If you had a bag full of feathers and you threw them to the wind, and then I said, "Go gather them all up," you think you'd get them all? No. And that's what happens when we speak death about people all over the place. It's people spreading death sometimes. We need to, you can't take it back. But what you can do from this moment on is to recognize the power that is in your spoken word. And begin to speak life. Not only to other people or about other people, but speak life about yourself.
That's good work.
Speak it to yourself. Listen, we all talk to ourselves. Right? Come on. We all talk to ourselves. Sometimes even out loud. Amen? It's pretty embarrassing when you talk to somebody's self and somebody comes into the room, isn't it? Tammy does that to me all the time. I talk to myself, but I have learned to talk to myself properly.
That's right.
I tell myself good things. Uh-huh. I tell myself how wonderful I am.
Uh-huh.
Amen? And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I just want you to know that you know, if I don't tell myself the things that the Word of God says about me, the enemy tells me all kinds of things about me. So I want you to know you can talk to, go ahead, talk to yourself. It's okay. You know, the good thing about driving down the road these days and talking to yourself, people don't know whether you're talking on cell phone or not. So it's okay. Tell yourself good things. Tell your family good things. Speak life and not death. All right, praise God. That is not my message this morning. That was just thrown in there. But I just felt all morning that God wanted me to share that. And then everything that fell into place, it needed to be shared. Without a doubt. Hallelujah. We've been talking about change. My message this morning is the wind of change. And I want us to think about all the changes that are happening and have happened. We can just go back a short period of time, 20 years. If you go back 20 years in the church, things have changed drastically. In our society, things are changing drastically and rapidly. In our world, all over the world, things are changing drastically. Geopolitically, things are changing in a way that many times it's not so good. We've seen the rise of all kinds of terrorist organizations, and we've seen the rise of persecution. Do you realize what's going on in the world to Christians? I know it's not reported in our national news media for the most part. You have to go to secondary sources and Christian sources, but hundreds of thousands of Christians are being persecuted all over the world, but just for one thing, because they proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not because they've done anything really wrong, but they believe in Jesus. Listen, these things are just changing so rapidly. I mean, I'm going to share more about what the changes as I go through this this series of messages. But let me share something with you that is really important because it's setting the stage for what the Bible calls the mark of the beast. In Revelation, it says that the beast will cause all to take a mark in their hand or their forehead. All, rich and poor, slave, free. It says everybody will have to take this mark in order to buy and sell. If you don't, you won't be able to participate in society. And, you know, that's going to be a huge pressure on people. When this is going to take place, I'm not going to even venture to try to guess. A lot of people have tried to put dates on these kind of things, and they're wrong to do that. We just know that we can look at the signs of the times and say, hey, we're getting closer and closer. Now, here's what I wanted to share with you. There's a company called Verichip. Verichip has created a rice-sized chip that can be implanted in your hand, right here. They implant it between your thumb and your finger. And they just insert it with a needle. Or at the base of your scalp. The two places that they say they like to put it. Because those are the two best places. Pretty incredible, isn't it? That they have created this. And they're going to put it either in the hand or the forehead. Which the Bible talks about. Okay, these things are not coincidence. Now, is that actually the mark of the beast? I would say no, it's not. The mark of the beast is going to be connected to a world power and a world leader that's going to cause all these things to happen. But I'm just trying to tell you this is a sign to us to recognize the return of Jesus Christ is close. It's near. Should we fear? Absolutely not. That's something we should get excited about. Yes, jump up and down. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we're to live our life to the best of our ability to serve Jesus and glorify Almighty God and build the kingdom. Be about building the kingdom. And I want to talk to you this morning about what we need to be able to accomplish that. Because I believe that part of what needs to take place in our lives as believers is what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit in your life. Because it's power to be witnesses, is what the Word of God says. Power to be witnesses. Now, the other thing about this chip is that Verichip won't tell you how many people have received it all over the world, but they said thousands have already been implanted with the chip. It's just setting the stage for what's coming. And hallelujah, Jesus is still on the throne. And God is in control of all this. He's the one that told us these things were going to happen. They're coming. But I want you to understand that the winds of change are blowing all over the world. And that is the demonic wind of change. But there is a supernatural wind of change that comes from the Holy Spirit that we must tap into as believers in order to accomplish the things God wants us to accomplish in these last days. There's much to be done. And God wants you to be on the cutting edge. He wants you to be involved with it. He wants you to see the manifestation of His Spirit in your life. He wants you to experience the gifts of the Spirit. Let's look at Acts. Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We all know this day of Pentecost and things that happened there, but we're going to read this. Just 2 through 4. Or 1 through 4, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all there understanding. Jesus told them to go and wait, and they were satisfied that they were doing what God wanted them to do. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is where I took the topic for my text. A rushing mighty wind. You see, that came, the wind of change came in and blew. That was the supernatural spiritual power of God. Did the wind really blow? No, it was as a mighty wind and as tongues of fire. Fire didn't really come down and set up on them, but it appeared to everybody that saw it. They heard this mighty wind sound. It's time for us right now. I believe that the church needs to hear the rushing mighty wind of God.
Yes, sir.
Of the power of God.
That's right, Pastor.
And we need to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can continue to do the work. Yes, you know, here at Bethel Worship Center, we are a charismatic church. We believe in baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes as we go through life, we begin to put those things on the shelf, on the side. And we forget that this experience is an experience that helps people to be empowered to overcome. To be empowered to be witnesses. To be empowered to do the work that God has called them to. When I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the church that we were in was pastored by a Methodist lay pastor who had been filled with the Spirit. And he was teaching the church. And we were having a special meeting. We were preparing for a revival. And we were having a special meeting, and I'd been being taught about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and told about it. And I wasn't just satisfied to hear what other people had to say about it. I had to go to the Word of God and find out for myself. And I encourage you to do that. If you have questions about it, go and talk about it. Go and read about it, and then go talk to other people about it, and study and learn and try to get an understanding of what's going on. All my life, I'd been taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. And then I opened the book up and it says, they spoke with other tongues and Spirit gave them utterance. Well, speaking, you know, it just dawned on me. If speaking in tongues is of the devil, the church was started by the devil. My goodness. And then I went on and read. And time after time, these people were filled with the Spirit of God. Many times they would speak in tongues. Now let me tell you something. Speaking in tongues is not the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift. There's just one gift, the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, all these things, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, those are all manifestations of the gift inside of you. Ah, you know, that revolutionized my thinking about it. Because, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit's the one that gives those or distributes those gifts because He is the gift. He's the one and only gift. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I'm going to talk to you just briefly this morning about three baptisms. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's look at 12 and 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he's saying, he's, you know, we're body, we're the part of the body, we're members of the body, and we're members of Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, he's saying by the Holy Spirit we are baptized into the body or into Christ. It's the Holy Spirit doing that work that causes us to be baptized into Christ. That word baptized or baptizo means to immerse, to put completely under. So we are put under or completely in Christ by the Holy Spirit. This is the salvation spirit experience that Jesus told Nicodemus about. You must be born again, he said. Nicodemus didn't completely understand what he was talking about. He thought he was talking about a natural experience that he had to be reborn like from his mother. But Jesus said, you are the leader in Israel and you don't understand these things. Well, sometimes that's the way it is in the body of Christ. We've been Christians for so long and we didn't understand these things. Well, we're never taught these things. We're never told about these things. For by one Spirit we are baptized into the body of Christ. So you receive Christ. The second baptism, Matthew 28, 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Back up, and Jesus came. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Do we believe all authority was given to Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Is there anybody in here that does not believe that? I didn't think so. And if you do, you're smart enough not to raise your hand. But we believe it, don't we? We believe all authority. Jesus came and he expressed that throughout the world. During his time as he walked on the face of the earth, he healed the sick. He delivered those who were demon-possessed. He performed all kinds of miracles. Jesus showed that he had authority in this earth.
That's right.
And then he says, after he says, I've got all authority, then you go. And basically what he's saying is, you go in my name. You go and do these things. Now, this was before the day of Pentecost. And Jesus knew that they were not ready at the time that he spoke this to them yet to go do those things. But something was going to happen to them that was going to cause them to be ready to walk in that authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing. And he's talking about water baptism here. Absolutely no doubt about it in the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about baptizing. So who's going to do baptizing? Disciples are going to do baptizing. Those who believe are going to do baptizing. It's really important that we understand that in the body of Christ, there is nobody with spiritual authority that gives them the ability to do baptisms or communion or speak blessings over people. No certain individual there. The clergy is not to be set aside as a spiritual powerhouse while everybody else goes about doing their daily lives and forgetting about their spiritual life. That's not the way God intended it. All people, everyone, these signs shall follow them that believe.
That's right.
If anybody tells you that you can't serve somebody communion because you're not ordained, they do not understand the Word of God. And you can't take communion on your own because you're not ordained. They do not understand the Word of God. You are a child of the Most High God. You've been called as a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto God. That, see right there, he's saying you have priestly responsibilities and ability in that scripture. So baptism, disciples do baptism. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Turn back. Two baptisms we've talked about, being baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body, being water baptized. The first one is salvation. The second one is witness. It's a witness to the world. The water baptism is a witness to everyone that we've had a transformation in our life. It's like the circumcision that was given to the Jewish people as a sign that they had been set apart. In water baptism, we go down dead and come back alive in Christ. That's what it's all about. And it's important. I want you to understand that you can go to heaven without being baptized. But baptism is an important part of what we are and who we are in Christ. It's important that we receive Christ as our personal Savior, follow through with baptism. Baptism is a spiritual experience. You will experience some spiritual cleansing when you are baptized. Now, does everybody have to be baptized to go to heaven? No. No, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." He didn't have time to be baptized. I'm sure that he would like to have said to those centurions guarding over him, "Hey, I just got saved. Can I get down off here and get baptized?" It's not going to work that way, is it? And we know that there are people that have received Christ as their personal Savior, and they were unable to be baptized. But if you can be baptized, you need to be baptized. Amen. Water baptism. It's an important part of who we are in Christ. All right, let's see. Matthew, where am I? What did I tell you? Matthew 3:11. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. "I indeed baptize you with water." Now, this is John the Baptist. And he's the one that is baptizing everybody for the remission of sins. And he's preparing for Jesus to come. Right after this, Jesus is baptized. But here's what he says: "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The point here is Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Jesus. Mm-hmm. Disciples baptize us with water.
That's right.
Yeah. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's good for us to understand these principles in the Word of God. Now, here's something that I want you to understand. This baptism that he's talking about, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus baptizing us with fire, hallelujah, and we need it. The church needs fire today.
Hallelujah.
Is in every one of the Gospels. Now, you may not think that's such a big deal, but you need to understand that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all considered synoptic Gospels or similar Gospels. They were all written about the same time. And they all teach on the third year of Jesus' ministry. They teach about his birth, his baptism, and then they jump to the death of John, and they jump to the third year of Jesus' ministry. But John's gospel, John came along, and of course, John lived longer than anybody else, any of the other disciples. So in 70 AD, he came along, and he must have looked at it and said, now, this is just conjecture on my part, but he must have looked at it and said, hey, no one talked about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry, so I'm going to write about that. So he did. He told those other things, but then he talked about the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry. In his gospel, there are things in it that are not recorded in the other gospels because it's the first 2 years. Things like the woman caught in adultery, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Several things that are, right off the top of my head, can't think of all of them right now, but there are several things in his gospel that are different. So it is a big deal when you think in every one of the gospels, even in John's, he records the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that Jesus is going to baptize us in the Spirit. Because the few things that are recorded are the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in all the Gospels, the baptism of Jesus, and the fact that he's going to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Those are important principles when we begin looking at the Word of God and recognizing that God felt that it was so important for us to understand that Jesus was going to baptize us with fire that he made sure that he put it in all four of the Gospels. All right. I might just mention that you can find that in Mark 1, 8, Luke 3, 16, and John 1, 33. Now, Jesus is our example. And what we need to recognize is that, well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus do all these things that I'm talking about this morning? Yes, maybe, possibly. Well, you know, it's a little, you know, yeah, think about this a little bit. Because when you start talking about salvation, Jesus didn't need to be saved. Jesus, you know, we get saved because we were born, it's a rebirth because we were born imperfect in the sight of God. And because of the blood of Christ, he now looks at us and sees us as righteous in right standing with him. But Jesus came and did not sin. He was the second Adam. And he came with the same opportunity that Adam had to either serve God till his death. Although, you know, Adam didn't have to deal with that, but to serve God without sinning, without choosing to sin, like Adam and Eve did by choosing the fruit, or to serve God to the end and accomplish God's will for his life. And Jesus, we know from Scripture, Jesus did not sin. He was perfect in all his ways. So he qualifies for that. Was he water baptized? Amen. He was water baptized. We know that for sure because we read that in the scripture that, well, let me see if I have this here. Let's just look at Matthew chapter 3. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan, verse 13, to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately. Now, let's stop right there. Jesus, the fulfillment of baptism, Jesus is our example. So Jesus fulfilled. He didn't have to be born again. He was already perfect. He fulfilled the baptism. He told John, look, this has to be done. I have to set this example. Other people have to see that how important this water baptism is. And when he had baptized Jesus, came up immediately from the water, and behold, The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not only did Jesus receive the water baptism, he received the Spirit baptism at about the same time. The Spirit came down as a dove. It wasn't a dove. It just appeared to be a dove. It was the Holy Spirit. Now we know that a dove sometimes is a type and example. Oil sometimes is type and example of the Spirit. There's several things. Fire sometimes is a type and example of the Holy Spirit. So when we see these things used in the Scripture, we recognize that they're talking. He's talking about the Holy Spirit came upon him, without a doubt. Jesus received the power of the Holy Spirit into his life. So, salvation, baptism, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, turn there with me, please. I promise you, you will be out of here in plenty of time to eat this evening. Yeah, I'm just messing with you. Really, I try to keep my messages brief, but to the point. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is speaking. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Hallelujah. Let's go back, because I wanted you to see that scripture, but let's go back and see what Jesus is saying. Verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" Okay, he'd already told them, there's a promised one coming. "For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" Power to be witnesses. That's what he said, that this Holy Spirit coming upon us, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, gives us supernatural power to walk in the things of God, to walk in the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. This word power here means inherent power. It means that it's in you. When you receive it, it becomes a part of you. It's not just in you, it's a part of who you are. And it also means a person or a thing that uses or puts forth that power. So in other words, you have the power in you. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power is in you, but it's your responsibility to put it forth. For each and every one of us, we have to put it forth. And we have to desire. Listen, God doesn't force the baptism of the Holy Spirit on anybody. It's only imparted to those who desire that. But I believe it's important for every believer to receive and to walk in, so that we can walk in these things. Let me tell you what it'll do for your life. It'll change you. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I became a different person. Christ had already changed my life, and he was working on me. But I changed drastically when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I changed toward my wife. I changed toward other people. My life became different. I became the servant that Jesus Christ, or started on the course of becoming the servant that Jesus Christ desires for each and every one of us to be. And I'm still working on that. But that's what the Holy Spirit's in there doing in each and every one of us, causing us to be better parents, better spouse, better citizens, better employees. Why? Because we just want to be better? No. To be an example.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So that when you have a need to lay hands on the sick, you're respected enough by people around you that they'll allow you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That people will recognize that you truly believe what you say you believe. You live it on a daily basis. All right. I want to move on here. Look with me to Acts 2, 36 through 38. Acts 2, verse 36. Okay. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent." I want you to see the three baptisms in this. Repent. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let every one of you be baptized, he's talking about water baptizing, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The three baptisms right there, right in order. Now, let me tell you something. Is God so bound that he cannot baptize somebody in the Holy Spirit without water baptism? I don't believe that. In fact, the scripture is very clear. When Peter came to Nicodemus, or to, not Nicodemus, the centurion, who saw an angel, when Peter was speaking to them, they believed, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they said, "All right, why don't we be baptized? We need to be baptized." So is God able? Absolutely. But I just want you to see that every time you see the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the baptism of people into the body, baptism, water, they're all connected with one another. They're an important part of who we are as the body of Christ. We just need to follow through with these things. I recognize that many people in this day and age, they sometimes bypass some of these things. You get Jesus as your personal Savior, and oh, hallelujah, we're going to heaven. They forget about water baptism. Baptism is a thing of the past many times in churches. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, you know, something weird might happen if I get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'll tell you this, something weird is going to happen if you don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's going to be different. It'll be a different weird. You better get on the good weird.
That's right. Amen.
Let's get all the good weird we can possibly get.
Hallelujah.
Look, you might speak in tongues. Does everyone speak in tongues immediately? I've had friends that were prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They wanted it. They desired it. They didn't speak in tongues immediately, but they went home in the middle of the night, started praying in prayer language. Do you have to pray in a prayer language? No, you don't. But why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to communicate with Almighty God on a one-on-one basis without the enemy being able to intervene?
That's right.
It's good stuff.
Good. Thank you, Lord.
Now, here's something that I'd like to deal with because I think it's really important. Because this error has been taught in many churches, many denominations, and that is that this baptism of the Holy Spirit and this speaking in tongues thing and these gifts of the Spirit were all just for the early church, and it died off with all the apostles. The reason people come up with this is because they want to explain away why things are not happening the way they should. And I got to tell you, I question that too. Why are we not seeing more healings? Why are we not seeing more miracles? Why are we not seeing more people set free in the name of Jesus Christ? Delivered from demonic forces, delivered from drugs and alcohol. These are all things that the Word of God is very clear we should be doing. These signs shall follow them that believe. And yet sometimes it's not happening like it should. But I refuse to try to explain it away by saying, well, it's not happening today. God doesn't want it to happen. God wants it to happen. It's not God's problem. It's our problem.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Somewhere we're getting in the way. Somewhere we're stopping this. Maybe we're not desiring it enough. I don't know. Hallelujah. Good. Yeah, that's good. Create an opportunity. Maybe we're afraid to act on it. Remember what it said about the being filled, the innate power? It's there, but we have to act on it.
That's right.
Wow. Well, here's what I want you to see in verse 39. Look closely at this scripture. Everyone that has ever been taught that this all the gifts have been done away with after the death of the apostles, I want you to read verse 39. And I hope that many pastors and teachers will read this scripture as well. Because after he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says this: for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Hallelujah. It's for every generation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And he made it perfectly clear to us. Ah, my. Let's see how much time I've got. Hallelujah. Not everybody feels that way. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Quickly, we're going to move through this. This is important. We need to see how this thing is working as far as receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be taught on it. You need to recognize that it's real and it's for you today in order to receive it. Verse 9, and there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed. How many know that we have a lot of Simons in the church today claiming to be somebody great? I don't want to be in their place. And to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, the man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself, look, they believed, came into the body of Christ, were baptized. Important steps. They followed them. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you something. Were they saved? It's not that hard of a question. Do you think they were saved? Did they receive Christ? Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I know it's just a little hard to respond sometimes. You're just wondering, you know, whether I got something up my sleeve or not. Really, really, I'm not trying to deceive you here. And when he And now when the apostles were at the Jerusalem, Samaria, they called Peter and John to come. For as yet, after talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then what did they do? They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. How? Why did they receive? Because now they knew. They knew they were supposed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many people don't know. You get saved, you get baptized, they don't know they're supposed to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today I'm proclaiming to you, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I can guarantee you, nothing weird, at least we're not going to think it's weird, is going to happen to you. We think it'll be wonderful and exciting and awesome, absolutely. All right, one more scripture. I've got to wrap this thing up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I know we've looked at a lot of scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, I'd like for you to look over at verse 11 before I read the rest of this. Because he's talking about all kinds of things happening. And the Old Testament is an example for us. And he goes on and he says in verse 11, now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age have come. So here's what I want to point out before I go on to read the rest of this. That things are that happened in the past, the Old Testament, they were all meant to be an example to us about what is going to happen in our lifetime, in the time of the church. And I'm talking about for the last 2,000 years, the church. We refer to the book of Acts as the book of the apostles, the Acts of the apostles, but in reality, it's the Acts of the church. And it hasn't been completely written yet. It's still being written. And it will be until Jesus comes back. All right, now go back to 10, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Now, listen, what we need to understand is that things are used, those Old Testament examples were types and examples of things that Jesus was going to do in the earth when he came. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud, now remember, this is an important scripture for us to understand because he's talking about three baptisms right here. Moses was their deliverer. He was told that there would be, and he told the people that there would be one like him, only greater than him, that would come. And he was talking about Jesus. So they were baptized into Moses, just like we're baptized into Jesus, into salvation. They were baptized under the sea, or through the sea, which is a representation of water baptism. They went across the sea as a representation. That's what this scripture is saying. The cloud, if you remember, when they were in the wilderness, they were led by a cloud by day and fire by night. It was a manifestation or a type and example of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. So the cloud that he's talking about is that same cloud that was fire at night. Yeah. And he's talking about a type and example of the Holy Spirit. So listen to what he says. All were baptized. It's interesting, isn't it? He uses that word, baptized. All were baptized in Moses, just like we're baptized in Jesus. They were all baptized under the cloud, the Holy Spirit. And they were all baptized under the sea, under the water. He wants us to see the significance of these three baptisms. I'm going to wrap it up now. Really, I am. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm really going to wrap up this morning. There we go. Here. Does anybody have a laser pointer? I forgot to get one. I'm just going to bring one with me. But I want you to see, this is a replica of the tabernacle. The temple was something very similar to this. But here's what I want you to see. This is also a type and example of what I'm talking about this morning. As you can see, they had a gate, or I'm not sure what it would be called, I guess a fence around. And then there's one doorway in. There's one way in. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. That's what he was talking about.
That's right.
He said, I'm the door. You can only go in through me. Now, you see this place back here, it had two compartments in it. The one with the covering on it. It had the holy place and the most holy place. The holy place was where the priests were allowed to minister. In the most holy place, only one time a year, was the high priest, chosen priest, allowed to go in and make atonement on the great day of atonement for all the people. Enter in one way. There is the brazen altar. That's where the lambs were sacrificed, the blood. That's the salvation, receiving Christ. The next place you had to stop was the great sea, or the laver. It was full of water, and you had to ceremonially cleanse yourself. Water baptism. Before they could go in the doors to the most holy, to the holy place, they had to be anointed with oil. Three baptisms that are shown in this picture on a regular basis. Thank you, sir. Okay. I'm almost done here, but push the green.
It's up above
me. Is it working?
Yeah, it was just on push the green button again.
Oh, I got to hold it? Oh, okay. All right, good. All right, so yeah, that's the altar, that's the laver, and then before they could enter into this part, the holy place, they had to have the anointed oil upon them, cleansed. Had to be baptized in all three. And of course, on the day of Jesus' death, when he was hanging on the cross, at the time he passed, a great earthquake took place, and the curtain that's between the holy place and the most holy place was torn in two to tell us that now we have access to the Father. But listen, let me tell you something. Here's what a lot of people are doing. They come in the door through the blood of Jesus. Some of them, they just bypass that part. We don't do baptism. We don't get the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just enter right into the Father. Can you do that? Yeah. But God has a way for us to do things. The blood, the water baptism, the oil, and into the presence of the Holy Father.
That's right.
How wonderful is that? How incredible is it for us to see that God had this plan from the very beginning, and he showed us in the Old Testament what we had to do. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.